We're waiting for you.
All right. We hope and pray that you have had a great day today and that you are staying cool in this very hot weather. Many are still without power, and we hope and trust that you're able to manage if you are without power. But we praise God for his keeping power, and we're certainly grateful for this time that God has allowed us to spend together tonight. We're going to be in 2 Chronicles, the 4th and the 5th chapters tonight. See if we can't tackle those two chapters. There are only about 22 verses in that 4th chapter, and I think even in the 5th chapter, there are perhaps less than that, maybe around, 9 verses or so in the 5th chapter. But we praise God for each of you. Let us know you're getting a clear signal and that you are getting... you can hear us well as we prepare. We're on a little early, right at 6 o'clock now. But how many chapters? How many verses?
21 in chapter 4 and 14 in chapter 5.
Okay, 21 and 14. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay, all right. You think we'll be able to get through that today?
I do, because it's pretty self-explanatory.
Okay, all right. Well, let us know you're getting a good signal there. We are at the office here tonight. We were not able to get our power on and today, and it's been out since yesterday. And so we were able to brave the storm so far. But we praise God that they have given us indication that it should be coming on sometimes this evening. There are so many people out with power, and over the weekend, the storms that... continue to hit the area pretty tough, but we praise God for sustaining us in the midst of it all. And so we're going to go ahead and get started tonight, Lady Kim. Let's have prayer, and then we'll get a little brief update on what happened on yesterday in our worship experience, and then we'll go right into our study tonight. God, we're certainly grateful for your presence, and we thank you for your peace that surpasses all understanding. We're grateful for you sustaining us in the midst of all of the storms and all of the things that have happened over the weekend. But God, you managed to keep us, and for this we're grateful. We thank you for just including us in your plan for this day. And we know that this is indeed the day that you made. And so God, we're determined to rejoice and be glad in it. We pray, O Lord, that even as we prepare for this time together tonight, as we center ourselves and settle ourselves around your word, we ask that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our redeemer. We love you today, and we give you praise, and we give you glory, and we give you honor. It's in Jesus' name we pray, and those who love God said amen. Well, give God a couple of thumbs up there. Let us know that you're getting a good signal and that you're in agreement with what God is about to do through this time together. This is pre-4th of July Eve. Is that right?
4th of July Eve. That's right.
And so it's kind of odd that we would stop in the middle, almost in the middle of the week to celebrate the 4th. Some people took off for the whole weekend and decided to have an extended weekend. How did that fare for you, Lady Kim?
Not too well, but it's okay.
Okay.
I went to work today.
Today, and then you're off tomorrow, right?
Off tomorrow. I have to be back to work on Wednesday.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting. And so I don't know. I guess they probably should just have 4th of July on one particular day, a Friday or whatever,
Monday.
Monday. Mm-hmm. That's where it can always kind of flow and be in sync with those who are yet, on different schedules on their work. But tell us a little bit about what happened in the worship experience yesterday, and tell us what you heard the Lord saying to you as we shared on yesterday.
Well, you continue to talk from the series, Win the Day.
Win the Day,
yes.
Okay.
Yes, but your sermon title was I'm Winning Anyhow.
I'm Winning Anyhow.
You know, sometimes you have to have that anyhow kind of attitude.
That's right.
No matter what happens, no matter what comes your way, you're going to make positive things happen anyhow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so your scripture was from Philippians, the 4th chapter, verses 11 through 13, where it says, not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything.
Mm-hmm.
I have learned the secret of living in every situation, mm-hmm. whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. And the King James Version of that, we all know, says I can do all things through Christ.
That's right.
Who
That's
strengthens
right.
me.
That's right.
And so, you know, you had 3 points, live, learn, and lean.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the first point is that we have to learn how to live with what we have. We have to learn how to be content.
That's right.
We have to learn how to be satisfied with our current situation. Not saying that we have to stay there, but we know we're going to move from there. But, you know, there's no sense in complaining and belly aching and having a pity party.
Mm-hmm.
Learn how to be content where you are, because one thing that's constant in life is change.
Change, that's right. You can count on it. And when we talk about being content, it's all about making adjustments without compromise. And so we have to learn how to make those kind of adjustments in life. But we have to be anchored in Christ and know beyond the shadow of a doubt that whether we're up or down, or whether we are high or low, that's the same thing. But whether we're rich or poor, if we're in Christ and we're dependent upon him, then we know that he's got our back and that everything will be all right. And we have to continue to press toward that mark that Paul talks about in that 3rd chapter of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, which he's really referring to that 10th chapter, in the 10th verse, getting to know him in the power of his resurrection. And I think our strength comes from knowing Christ and being in tune with who and whose we are, and not to grow weary when things that we see in the natural does not really line up with what we believe God is doing in the spirit realm.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. And we have to learn how to live in expectancy also. Living, expecting our situations to change. Living, expecting God to move on our behalf.
That's right. That's right.
Living, learning to live. Because we have the past to draw on.
Mm-hmm.
How God brought us out of the situations in the past. We know he's going to bring us through again.
Mm-hmm.
So we keep living. We keep pressing towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus.
Okay. And not go back, but learn from what we have gone through. Is
Absolutely,
that right?
Yes.
And a lot of times what the enemy will try to do is keep you looking back. But the Bible is clear when it says, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. And so Paul said, this one thing I do, I'm forgetting those things which are behind me, and I'm looking forward to what God yet has in store for me in the future. And so we have to be clear in that regard as well, because the enemy wants to keep you looking back, and he wants to remind you of your past and of the things that you failed in and how you didn't accomplish, and how people said you were not going to be anything, that you were not going to make it. But that's a clear signal, if you will, that the enemy is pressing you. But when you hear God speaking to you, you'll know that he's talking about what you can do in the future and how you can succeed, how you can be a conqueror, how you can overcome. And greater is he that's within you than he that's within the world. And we have to decree that over our lives every day and just say, no weapon that's formed against us shall be able to prosper. And even though we might be in a situation right now that does not agree with what we believe in God to do in our lives, we got to continue to press our way. We got to continue to believe God. And so when we get to a place of seeing what God said he would do, then we know that we'll be able to handle what he has in store for us.
Amen. Mm-hmm. It's also a clear signal that we're on the right track.
That's right.
Because the enemy is not going to bother you if you're not doing anything
That's good.
For the Lord.
That's good.
You know, he only bothers those that are pressing towards the mark mm-hmm. of the prize of the high calling of God. He not going to mess with nobody who's wilding in sin.
Oh, okay. Who's,
you know, because he already has them.
Uh-huh.
He
uh-huh.
already has them distracted.
Okay.
But he's going to continue to try to intervene on what we're doing, how we're moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to learn that when the enemy comes against us like a flood,
okay.
you know, that we have to hold on to our faith because we're on the right track.
That's good. That's good. That's a word for somebody tonight who's probably struggling with where you are right now. You know, sometimes the reason we don't get promotion as swift as we think we should is because we haven't learned the lesson that God is trying to teach us in that season. And when we learn the lesson and when we apply the principle, you'll feel a release in your spirit. And it won't be a struggle for you to get to the next place where God is directing you, but you'll feel comfortable in it and you'll know that it's God. You know that it was not something that you manufactured in your own well-being, but God has a way of elevating and promoting us where man might intend it for evil, but God can turn it around for our good. And so for that person who's yet listening tonight or viewing us and you're yet feeling as if you're stuck in a rut, or you're feeling as if you're stuck in a situation that you have not really moved forward, just continue to stay focused, continue to learn the lesson that God is trying to teach and live through it. You know, that's the other point, Lady Kim, that you just emphasized. You know, when we live through something, it increases our faith and it gives us a stronger testimony about what God can do.
Amen.
If you want to know that God is a healer, live through an affliction.
I know. Live through a sickness.
Live through a sickness and live through dealing with somebody in your household who you had to minister to and walk with them. If you want to know that God is a provider, live through not having what you have now, and you know that God was able to do exceedingly and abundantly above any and everything that we can ever ask or think. And so many times we think that everything is just going to fall out of the sky and fall into our laps. But no, you got to live through some adversity.
Yes.
You got to live through some things. You got to cry sometimes, and you'll appreciate when God begins to bless you and when overflow comes in your life. I was telling the story yesterday about how many times people see us where we are now, but they don't really know our story.
That's right.
And they try to judge us based upon what they consider to be our glory.
Mm-hmm.
But no, God has brought us from a mighty long way. And, you know, I praise God for how he continues to sustain us and how he's using us in spite of us. But we didn't always have it like this. We didn't always live where we live. We didn't always drive what we drive now. But God brought us through. And so through many dangers seen and unseen, somebody say amen.
Amen.
And so we used to have those food stamps, didn't we, Lady Kim?
Yes, we did.
And we used to count them and waiting on them and all of that and down
needed
it.
Them.
Needed them.
Ran out of food before
That's
the
right.
end of the month.
That's right.
Didn't know where we were going to get more food from. But I remember an old song that says, if I never had a problem,
my.
I wouldn't know my God could solve
That's
them.
It.
I wouldn't know what faith in God could do.
Amen. And so when you live through something, then you can appreciate when God begins to pour out his blessings and when he begins to shower you with favor and with grace. Live through it.
Amen.
And trust God.
Trust
the timing of God. He is indeed an on-time God. He may not come when you want him to.
Yes.
But I believe I have about 15 witnesses out there who knows beyond the shadow of a doubt.
He's always. Oh, no.
That he's always right on time. Come on, somebody give God a thumbs up right
Amen.
There. You know he's an on-time God. You've seen him work for you. You've seen him do it for you. And many times we get to a place where we forget about what the Lord has done. And we get in such a hurry, Lady Kim, to start asking him for things we want him to do.
Mm-hmm.
But if you praise him for what he's already
Hallelujah,
done, glory
Jesus.
God.
Glory.
I believe breakthrough is nigh thee. I believe God will show up in your situation. God honors you, honors the praise that you, when you just say, Lord, I thank you for how you brought me and how you kept me and how you continue to supply my needs. And God knows our hearts. And as a result of that, God will release something in your life that will sustain you until you get to the place where he's trying to get you to.
Amen. And you will get there.
That's right.
You will get there. Just keep trusting God. Keep moving in the right direction. You will get to where God will have you to be. And when you look back over your life,
that's right,
all you'll be able to do is thank God for all that he's done. And you can see progression. You'll see movement. You'll see miracles and blessings that have come your way. You'll see how God has intervened on your behalf.
That's right.
Just keep learning, keep living, and keep leaning on the everlasting arms.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
And you'll be able to say, I can do all things
through
the very Christ who strengthens me. That's what Paul's resolve was when he had gone through everything and he had lost so much of what the world might have considered for him to be accomplished and for him to be successful. He lost all of that. But what he gained was much more. And he said, and he came to the conclusion that, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Is that anybody's testimony here tonight?
Amen. And we have to remind ourselves of that too.
That's right. That's right.
Because sometimes when we get weak, sometimes when it's hard, sometimes I have a 20-page paper or 15-page paper, and I only have 11 pages, and I run out of words to say. Mm-hmm. I say, God, you got this.
That's right.
I can do all things through Christ.
That's it.
Who strengthens me. And God always gives me something else pull from or draw from to put on that paper.
Somebody was telling me after the sermon yesterday, Lady Kim, that we need to get some T-shirts that say learn, live, and lean on it.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, that's powerful. And so I told Dr. Carlise to go ahead and put it in motion. I believe she's on tonight, isn't she? And so she needs to go ahead and put that in motion. And we can have that as a reminder that we need to learn and ask God to teach us how to learn. And then we need to live through some stuff. And be steadfast in leaning on the everlasting arms of Jesus.
Amen.
Come on, somebody give God a praise offering,
Lord,
right there.
Hallelujah.
That's right. That's right. That's it. Well, what else happened yesterday, Lady Kim? Anything else that struck your fancy?
Oh, absolutely. God showed up and showed out. We had people to come and join Anointed Temple of Praise and souls to be baptized.
That's right.
We just thank God that he is continuously stirring the water. You
Absolutely.
Know, sometimes we get complacent in what we think God can do.
Mm-hmm.
But God has been abundantly gracious towards Anointed Temple of Praise. You know, God is continuing to add to the church.
That's right.
Each day, daily, such as should be said.
Absolutely.
And we thank God for it.
And so we even received a phone call, text message yesterday about a young man who wanted to be baptized. I had Dr. Butler get in touch with him, and he's already joined, and he's already made his confession of faith. And so we're going to include him in the number. Then we got a call last week from one of our members who wants to be baptized before a birthday. So we're looking at probably about 12. I mean, not 12, but see, I felt that in the spirit. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
We're looking at about 5 people that are going to be baptized on the 16th.
Wow.
Isn't that something?
That's awesome.
That's right. If Dr. Butler's on, she can confirm that. But I praise God for how he's moving in the house and how he's adding to the church daily, such as should be saved. And so get on board and be a part of what God is doing in this season. And win the day. Win the day. That's what we've been talking about. Win the day. You got to win this day. Don't get too cluttered. Don't let your life get too cluttered with things till you don't get an opportunity to win what's in front of you. Stay focused and stay clear, and God will give you a singleness of purpose and focus. And win the day. This one thing. Set one thing as your agenda, and watch God do it. Do some marvelous things in your life.
And I like when you say win the day. That means this day.
That's right.
You know, we're so busy thinking about what happened yesterday.
Right.
You know, the problems of yesterday. And then we're worried about what's going to happen on tomorrow.
That's right.
You know, I don't have this for tomorrow. I don't have this for next week. I can't do this for next month. But, you know, we need to take one day at a time.
One day at a time.
Win this day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, think of a win for this day.
That's
what are
right.
you going to accomplish this day? Don't overwhelm yourself with things of the past and,
that's right.
and things that have not yet happened.
That's right.
You know, let God take care
let
of the
God
future.
Let God take care of it.
You know, win the day. Think of the wins that you're going to do today. And when you win the day, this day, mm-hmm. this is the day
this is
the
day.
Lord has made.
That's right.
We'll rejoice and be glad in
that's right. That's
win
right.
this day, and we will be better for it.
Part of that Lord's Prayer is, Father, give us
this day
our daily bread. It
yes.
doesn't go into a whole array of things that you want down the road. Listen now, give us this day our daily bread. And if God makes a way today, then you know the same God who brought you from where you were, he's able to take you even further and bless you beyond where you are right now.
Amen.
Somebody
amen.
Better say amen. All right. Well, Lady Kim, we're excited about how God is moving in the house, and we praise God for all of those who are working with us and how God is yet moving among the members, and people are excited and people are involved and they're engaged in ministry with our Institute for Leadership Training, and we're having a three-pronged meeting this Saturday with our new members and our Institute for Leadership Training members, about 22 of them, and then our ministry leaders, all are going to be present. I've asked Mark to go ahead and set up for about 60 people, because normally we would have around 30 for just our ministry leaders meeting, but we want to make sure that that's a point of engagement and a point where people can connect and people can get a chance to, fellowship and then ask questions. And then we want to share some information and then refresh some of the people who've already gone through some of this and let them be reminded about how God has brought us and how God has blessed us and how all of us are tied into this thing together. We can't get along without the other person. We need you, and we need everybody doing their part and everybody on their seat on the bus, so that we might go forward and accomplish great things for God.
Amen.
Isn't that right?
That's right.
And so that's going to happen this Saturday at 10 o'clock. We're having
ministers at 9.
And the ministers at 9 o'clock. That's right. But we're going to ask them to go ahead and stay for the meeting. And I think it's going to be a great time. And this might be a model that we might use going forward. But let's go ahead and jump into this second chapter of Second Chronicles, the 4th and 5th chapters, and just kind of see what God is saying to us tonight, because we know that last week in the 3rd chapter, they were really bringing definition and clarity to all of what was going to go into the temple and how the process was getting started. The foundation is being laid, if you will, and how Solomon is just overseeing and making sure that everything is in place, and they bear no expense in terms of what was needed in order to complete the task. He got the best of the best, and so it is with us. We need to give God our very best, and we need not be bashful when it comes to presenting our gifts, our time, our talent, even our resources to God. We don't need to give God what's left. We need to give God what's right. Somebody type that in there,
amen,
because that'll preach right there.
Yes,
and
will.
So sometimes people want to give God what's left over. Yeah, but no, we need to give God what's right. And God will honor that. And so we see in that third chapter how Solomon is being faithful and he's being consistent and obedient, even to the model that was set before him by his father. And he's taking on this challenge to build the temple, and he's making sure that it's something that will people will talk about for years, and that it will bring glory and honor to God.
Amen.
And so it is when we begin to present our gifts to God. We need to do it in an excellent way. We don't need to shortchange God. and we need to present our very best to God. God presented his best for us, and how dare we not present our best back to him who gave his best for us.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And so tonight in this fourth chapter, we're going to look at the temple furniture. Is that right?
Yes, absolutely.
And how he's really kind of laying it out. And as you said earlier, it's kind of self-explanatory because it goes into great detail in terms of them understanding what would go where and how everything would be positioned. And the temple furniture was a key detail, if you will, for Solomon, and details do indeed make the difference.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. And I like that we see a model of excellence.
Okay.
A model of giving God the best.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, and that's what I appreciate about you.
Okay.
And Anointed Temple of Praise. You make sure that God's house is presented in its best light. You're a detailed person. You don't want things looking shabby and out of place, you know. And a lot of people compliment Anointed Temple of Praise on how it looks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the grass is cut. The flowers are nice. Inside, you know, is nice. We don't want God's house looking any kind of way.
That's right.
And here the model was set in 2 Chronicles, the 3rd, 4th, and 5th chapters,
mm-hmm.
On how they used the best for God's house. Not only did they use the best materials, but they used the best craftsmen.
Absolutely.
To get the job done. They didn't have jack-legged carpenters.
Uh-oh.
You know, they had skilled carpenters, the ones that were excellent at their job to perform the tasks. And so we're going to see the furnishings for the temple here in this fourth chapter of 2 Chronicles.
Okay. So there are what, 22 verses there?
I believe so. I think.
Yeah, 22. Right?
Yes, 22 mm-hmm. verses.
So how do you want to handle this, Lady Kim? You're the designated reader. What's your preference?
Well, 11 and 11 is 22.
All right.
I don't know if 11 is a good
don't
place.
Don't go and
to
go
stop.
Go and play that now. Don't go and play those numbers now. We're not trying to do that.
11. Let me see. Number 11.
A good place.
Part of 11.
Mm-hmm.
11A is a good place to stop.
Okay.
So.
Go ahead. Let's hear what's going on with this furniture that they're putting in the temple.
All right. 2 Chronicles, the 4th chapter, starting with the first verse. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. And it reads thusly, Solomon also made a bronze altar 30 feet long, 30 feet wide, and 15 feet high.
Wow.
Then he cast a great round basin, 15 feet across from rim to rim, called the sea. It was 7.5 feet deep and about 45 feet in circumference. It was encircled just below its rim by two rows of figures that resembled oxen. There were about 6 oxen per foot all the way around. And they were cast as part of the basin.
Mm-hmm.
The sea was the name that they called the basin.
That's
the
right.
Sea was placed on the base of 12 bronze oxen, all facing outward. 3 faced north, 3 faced west, 3 faced south, 3 faced east. And the sea rested on them. The walls of the sea were about 3 inches thick.
Wow.
And its rim flared out like a cup and resembled a water lily blossom. It could hold about 16,500 gallons of water. He also made 10 smaller basins for washing the utensils for the burnt offerings. He set 5 on the south side and 5 on the north. But the priests washed themselves in the sea. He then cast 10 gold lampstands according to the specifications that had been given, and he put them in the temple. 5 were placed against the south wall, and 5 were placed against the north wall. He also built 10 tables and placed them in the temple, 5 along the south wall, 5 along the north wall. Then he molded 100 golden basins. Verse number 9, he then built a courtyard for the priest and also the large outer courtyard. He made doors for the courtyard entrances and overlaid them with bronze. The great bronze basin called the sea was placed near the southeast corner of the temple. Hiram Abib also made necessary wash basins, shovels, and bowls. So at last, Hiram Abib completed everything King Solomon had assigned him to make for the temple of God. Okay. That was verse through verse 11.
Okay. And it's very descriptive in terms of being particular and how important it was to place the very best in the temple and how they paid attention to the detail in terms of what was going in, and they did not try to shortchange the process or shortcut the process. Mm-hmm. And many times people want to do that, you know, but no, go ahead and do what's right and do the best that you can and present God excellence in your work and in your craft. And Solomon picked men who were skilled in the things that he was requiring of them to do, and they understood their assignment.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yep.
Something flipped through my mind. Oh, that basin, the sea, mm-hmm. the huge basin that was made. I was thinking about the measurements of a swimming pool.
Okay.
You know, 15 feet wide. That was big enough to swim in.
Yeah, 15 feet wide.
Yes, and
absolutely.
It says 7.5 feet deep.
Yeah.
So, you know, you could even dive. If he put a diving board,
he could dive off in there.
Yes, they could dive in there. So mm-hmm. it was huge. That's why it was called the sea.
Okay. All right. And so I think when we finish these next few verses, we will see that he continues the furnishing of the temple. And this all ties in together and even flows over to the next chapter.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to go ahead and read those other few verses there, starting with verse number 12. We're in 2 Chronicles, the 4th chapter, for those of you just joining us. And Lady Kim has already read the first 11 verses, and so it's only 22 verses there. And so it's very descriptive in terms of the furnishings that were to go into the temple and the placement of them. And so that's what we see in those first 11 verses.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to reread verse 11 because it continues on through 12.
Okay.
It says, so at last, Hiram Abib completed everything King Solomon had assigned him to make for the temple of God. The two pillars, the two bowl-shaped capitals on top of the pillars, the two networks of interwoven chains that decorated the capitals, the 400 pomegranates that hung from the chains on the capitals, two rows of pomegranates from each of the chain networks that decorated the capitals on top of the pillars,
mm-hmm.
the water charts holding the basins, the sea and the 12 oxen under it, the ash buckets and the shovels, the meat hooks, and all the related articles. Hiram Abib made all these things of burnished bronze for the temple of the Lord, just as King Solomon had directed. The king had them cast in clay molds in the Jordan Valley between Succoth and Jerithon. Solomon used such great quantities of bronze that its weight could not be determined.
Hmm.
Solomon also made all the furnishings for the temple of God, the gold altar, the tables for the bread of the presence, the lampstands and their lamps of solid gold to burn in front of the most holy place as prescribed, the flower decorations, lamps and tongs, all of the purest gold, the lamps, snuffers, bowls, ladles, and incense burners, all of solid gold, the doors for the entrances to the most holy place, and the main room of the temple overlaid with gold.
Wow, isn't that something? So they spared no expense.
No expense.
That's right. They
gold, the purest of
the
gold.
The purest of purest mm-hmm. of
and
everything.
You know, we don't even have pure gold anymore.
No.
It's, you know, we see 14 karat gold and 10 karat gold. I remember, you know, at a time you could, at one time, get 18 karat gold, but that's even hard to find. But the mm-hmm. purest of gold is the 24 karat.
That's right.
You know, that people talk about. And I'm sure this was 24 karat gold overlay.
Absolutely, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So the lesson here, and we see it's going to continue even into the next chapter, is Solomon dedicated these objects to God,
mm-hmm.
and he presented the very best of the best, as we continue to say, and he dedicated in honor of God, putting God first, and he made the temple of such where it was a representative of the God that he served.
Amen.
And so it is with us.
Great God.
Great God. Present our very best.
Mm-hmm.
He's an excellent God, and he deserves an excellent praise.
Amen.
And he deserves an excellent gift when we present ourselves as well as our things back to him.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Okay. All right. Well, let's move to the fifth chapter then, Lady Kim, I believe. The fourth chapter. Where are we? The fifth chapter. That's right. That was the fourth chapter of Second Chronicles, and talking about the furnishings. And when we get over here into this fifth chapter, we'll see something very interesting begin to take shape here. After they've laid everything out and put everything in its proper place, they're getting ready to bring the ark in. Is that mm-hmm. right?
The Ark of the Covenant.
That's
yes.
right.
Here we're going to see the finished temple.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're going to bring in what we call the, you know, when you go to a concert, they have the main act.
Uh-huh.
Here comes the main act.
Here comes the main act.
The main act.
This is that we've been waiting on.
This is what we've been waiting on. This is why they built the temple.
All right.
To house the Ark of the Covenant. Because the Ark of the Covenant was representative, or it was the presence of God.
That's right. That's
coming
right.
into the temple.
Amen.
Aren't you glad that we live in the New Testament dispensation, where we have God within us,
God within,
where we
Emmanuel.
Carry God everywhere we go.
Jesus.
But in those times, the Old Testament times, they had to wait for God to show up.
That's right.
You know,
that's right.
They had to wait for the moving of the water. They had to wait for, you know, signs from heaven. But in the new dispensation, thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
God is within us.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to see here that we're going to look for the headliner to show up. Hallelujah. The presence of God is going to show up.
That's
as
good.
They finish
I like
the temple.
That, the headliner. All right. So there are only a few verses here in this fifth chapter. And we're going to go ahead and you want to go ahead and read all of those. And
14,
then we'll come back and talk about what we see needs to be lifted up. And I think then we should be ready to close out.
Okay. We are in 2 Chronicles, the fifth chapter, and we're getting ready to talk about the finished temple, as well as the Ark of the Covenant being brought in. 2 Chronicles, the fifth chapter, verse number 1. So Solomon finished all his work on the temple of the Lord. Then he brought all the gifts his father David had dedicated, the silver and gold and various articles, and he stored them in the treasuries of the temple of God. Solomon then summons to Jerusalem the elders of Israel and all of the heads of tribes,
mm-hmm.
the leaders of the ancestral families of Israel. They were to bring the Ark of the Lord's Covenant to the temple from its location in the city of David, also known as Zion. So all the men of Israel assembled before the king at the annual Feast of Shelters, which is held in early autumn. When all the elders of Israel arrived, the Levites picked up the Ark. The priests and Levites brought up the ark along with the special tent.
Wow.
And all the sacred items that had been in it. There before the ark, King Solomon and the entire community of Israel sacrificed so many sheep, goats, and cattle that no one could keep count. Then the priests carried the ark of the Lord's covenant into the inner sanctuary of the temple, the most holy place, and placed it beneath the wings of the cherubim. The cherubim spread their wings over the ark, forming a canopy over the ark and its carrying poles.
Mm-hmm.
These poles were so long that their ends could be seen from the holy place,
wow,
which is in front of the most holy place, but not from the outside. They are still there to this day. Nothing was in the ark except the two stone tablets that Moses had placed in it at Mount Sinai, where the Lord made a covenant with the people of Israel when they left Egypt. Then the priests left the holy place. All the priests who were present had purified themselves, whether or not they were on duty that day. And the Levites, who were musicians, Asaph, Heman, Jeduthun, and all their sons and brothers, were dressed in fine linen robes and stood at the east side of the altar playing cymbals, lyres, and harps. They were joined by 120 priests who were playing trumpets. The trumpeters and singers performed together in unison to praise and give thanks to the Lord. Accompanied by trumpets, cymbals, and other instruments, they raised their voices and praised the Lord with these words: "He is good. His faithful love endures forever." At that moment, a thick cloud filled the temple of the Lord. The priests could not continue their service because of the cloud, for the glorious presence of the Lord filled the temple of God.
Hallelujah. They could not even finish what they were assigned to do, because the glory cloud,
the glory of the Lord,
the glory of the Lord
came in that place,
showed up. Isn't that amazing? And isn't that what we're after? Isn't that what you want? You want God's glory to fill the temple. And that's exactly what happened here in this fifth chapter, as they are bringing the Ark of the Covenant in, and everybody dressed it in fine linen, and they're coming and proceeding in. Can't you see it in your spirit's
mind?
They
had the music playing.
That's right.
People were worshiping, giving God glory.
That's right.
For all that had been done, the temple had been completed. The artifacts had from King David had been brought and placed in the temple. It was just a glorious time of entrance into the Holy of Holies.
That's it. And so that's a prime example of how we ought to present ourselves, because when we present God our best, God will present his best, and his glory will fill the temple. Lord, let your glory fill the temple.
Hallelujah.
Lord, let your glory fill this house.
That should be our prayer.
That even while we're ministering, even while we're trying to do what we do on Sunday, that it's so thick in the sanctuary that we can't finish what has been assigned for us to do.
Amen.
And that's exactly what happened here in this fifth chapter of 2 Chronicles. And so the lesson, I believe, is that the Lord's presence, when you talk about the ark and his glory in the temple, it's needed in all places. It's needed everywhere. And that's what we should be asking God to do in our lives. The singers, the elders, those who were in charge, those who were participating. The glory cloud came in.
Hallelujah.
And that's what we want.
Yes, the glory cloud.
Stand in his presence.
Yes.
And allow him to just minister to us and us to feast on his glory.
Yes. And I believe one of the reasons the glory cloud came in, a couple of reasons, was one, they were just like on the day of Pentecost.
Mm-hmm.
They were all on one accord in one place.
One place.
They were in that temple. They were giving God the praise. They were thanking God for what he had done in their midst. They were thanking God that the temple was finally built and that the Ark of the Covenant was there with them and had a special place.
That's right.
A place that was anointed and appointed, who God himself told David the specifications. David told his son Solomon what he needed to do. He prepared Solomon for the task, and Solomon didn't cut corners. Solomon did exactly what his dad told him to do, and God was pleased with what had happened. And when God is pleased with what happens in our worship, when God is pleased, when we are all on one accord and God is pleased with our worship, I bet God will show up anytime.
My. All right. That's it. That's the lesson for tonight. Let God be pleased with what you are doing and what you are presenting to him.
Amen.
And when you do that, when you present him your best, God's going to show up and you'll be pleased with what God has in store
Amen.
For you.
Amen.
You believe that?
I believe it.
Okay. Well, we've gone through two chapters tonight, the fourth and the fifth chapter. This is all about the presentation and about them entering in and placing everything in its proper place, and how I like what you said about people being on one accord and how everybody did what they were assigned to do. Nobody was out of their lane. Everybody was doing according to their skill set and their ability, and they did it in such a way that it brought glory and honor to God. And God saw how they presented themselves, and as a result of it, God's glory just filled the house. I think one translation said it was like a smoke cloud that filled the temple, and people were in awe. They were amazed at God's presence in the temple.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. And you know what? I bet, and I challenge us all to consecrate ourselves on Saturday night.
Okay.
Go to God in prayer and ask God to, first of all, purge us all, cleanse us from all unrighteousness, that we might present ourselves to him in such a way on Sunday that we're all on one accord, that his glory cloud can come in and just take over in the worship service on Sunday.
That's right. That's right. Will y'all touch and agree with us and believe God that that's what's going to happen this Sunday? We had a little taste of that this past Sunday.
That's right. Yesterday,
but I believe it can even go higher. How many of y'all can believe that God can even do greater things?
Hallelujah.
And it can
Hallelujah.
Go higher.
Yes.
We've already set assignments, and we've already talked about goals and what we want to accomplish and lives and souls to be saved. But when we present our best to God and when we do our part, God will do his part. I need about 15 people just to touch and agree with me that you're going to be praying for God's glory to fill the temple, and you're going to prepare yourself to be ready for what God is about to do, and come with a spirit of expectation and believing that God's glory is going to fill the temple.
Amen. Amen. And you know, a lot of times we think it's something that we've done when we feel God's presence. It's not anything that we can really do other than prepare ourselves.
That's right. That's right.
God shows up when he sees hearts that are ready to receive.
That's right.
When he sees sincerity and sincere hearts.
That's right.
When we go before him and ask for forgiveness and ask for his leading and his guidance, the Holy Spirit shows up every time.
That's right. That's right. So, Lady Kim, I'm on tiptoe expecting God, a mighty move of God this Sunday, and that God is going to honor us because we are preparing ourselves for what he is about to do.
Amen.
All right. Well, we finished those two chapters for tonight, and wanted to see if there are any praise reports or any comments or any prayer requests for those of you who are viewing. And you know that we believe in the power of prayer, and that the effectual fervent prayers of the righteous availeth much. We understand clearly that God honors our prayers, and that the God we serve is a prayer answering God. And I don't know your situation or your circumstance, but I do know a God who's well able to do exceedingly and abundantly above any and everything that you can ever ask or think.
Amen.
So if there are concerns or if there are requests that you might have, we want you to go ahead and present those at this time. And even though we came on a little early, we didn't know we were going to finish up a little early, but we want to just honor those requests and submit them to God in prayer tonight. If you know of someone, Lady Kim, do you have any standard?
I have a few, but I also want to remind us that this Sunday we do go to Quince Nursing Home.
Okay.
At 2 o'clock to worship with the residents there,
mm-hmm.
and Minister Loretta Perkins.
That's right.
Will be the minister bringing the word.
That's right.
And the ministry leaders. Mm-hmm. Are the supporting ministry.
Okay.
So we invite everybody to come.
Right.
You know, it's not just for Minister Loretta. It's not just for the ministry leaders. It's for anybody, whosoever will, let them come and worship with the residents at Quince Nursing Home. Sister Inez Ote, the mother of Sister Erin Jethro, there in St. Louis, had surgery. I spoke to her and had prayer with her on yesterday. She's home from the hospital, but still requesting our prayers. Sister Dorothea Robertson also requesting our prayers as she had surgery on this past week. Also have a barcode online for prayer requests. All
mm-hmm,
right.
Mm-hmm.
So make sure that you submit. Amen. Your prayer request. Thank you for praying for us. Somebody said, Sister Jessica, praying for Pastor and First Lady. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
We most definitely need your prayers.
That's right.
And we are most certainly praying for the glory of the Lord to come in on Sunday
mm-hmm.
and show himself strong on our behalf.
Absolutely.
The glory of the Lord, that just like he came in a cloud and showed himself in this fifth chapter of Second Chronicles and filled the temple.
That same God.
That same glory cloud, that same God that filled the temple.
That's right.
We pray will come and fill anointed temple.
All right.
Amen.
Now. All right. Look like Sister Deborah is asking for prayer as well. Is that right?
Okay. Sister Deborah's having a procedure done on her back on Thursday. We will lift you up, Sister Deborah. All right.
Any more prayer requests as we prepare to wrap it up for tonight? We see Dr. Crystal, our regional minister and president of this particular region, the great Tennessee region, is on.
Amen.
And we're certainly grateful for her presence, and we want to lift her up as we always do. And we thank God for her leadership.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Absolutely.
And thank you all for your prayers as we lay to rest Catherine Murray, the aunt of Pastor Murray, on this past week, on last week, rather.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had a safe trip down and back, and our niece Darlene made her way back and got back safely on today.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
Thank you for praying for us.
Okay.
And praying for all those who are still without power.
Absolutely.
Like us.
That's right.
We
that's
are
right.
without power
we
at
have
our
not
house.
Gotten the signal yet that the power is on, so it must be still off.
Yes. So everything in my refrigerator.
Uh-huh.
You said it right. What?
My refrigerator.
Well, it's ours. Okay. Mine. What's right. mine is yours.
All right.
What's
y'all yours heard it. Y'all mine. Write that down now. What time is it? 10 minutes to 6.
What's yours 7. Is mine. What's mine is yours. If it's my refrigerator, it's yours too.
All right.
All right.
All right. We got it.
Okay. But yeah, most definitely I was telling Pastor, you know, that I had to go to the grocery store. You know, we didn't have anything to eat in the house when we came back from Birmingham. And I went to the store on Saturday.
Yep, you loaded up,
oh,
too.
Oh, man, I loaded up with groceries mm-hmm. and brought them home. And the power went out last night, and it's
yep.
not on yet. So a few things in the freezer that I had just bought. You know, we brought them and put them in the freezer here. Pastor put them in the freezer here at church. But all of the stuff in the refrigerator, I'm going to have to put in the trash. I mean, I had turkey and milk and eggs and and, you know, groceries cost so much. But you know what? I told someone at work, you know, it has to go in the trash. But thank God we do have some food. You know, we will have some food. And we can go to the store and buy a few more things. And I just thank God for that.
Okay.
Because there are a lot of people who can't afford to buy any more food.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
So we are lifting up those who are still without power like ourselves. I hope and pray that it will come on soon so we will not endure another hot night. But thank God for what he's going to do
on
our behalf.
Absolutely.
Amen.
All right.
Are you ready?
Yes, ma'am.
Let's go to God in prayer. Precious Jesus, how we love you. We lift up our voices to you in prayer. We lift up our voices to you in praise. We lift up our voices to you in worship. God, we thank you that you are an all-wise, all-knowing, all-merciful God.
Yes, God.
And we thank you for being in the midst, just as you were in the midst in 2 Chronicles, in that temple, God. We ask that you would show up in a powerful and mighty way in our lives and in this church at Anointed Temple of Praise. God, we desire your glory cloud. We thank you, God, for our president and general minister, Dr. Crystal. We ask, oh God, that you would continue to watch over her and keep her, God, provide all her need according to your riches
Hallelujah.
And glory by Christ Jesus. We thank you for the Christian Church Disciples of
thank
Christ
you, God.
That continues to be a witness here in this world. To bring those who don't know you to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. God, we pray for those on the sick and shut-in list. We pray for Sister Inez Ote and Sister Dorothea Robertson. We ask that you would continue to heal them following their surgeries, God. We ask a special blessing to be on Sister Deborah, God, as she prepares for that back procedure.
Yes, God.
We ask, oh God, that you would be the doctor in that surgical room, God, that you would just touch the doctor's hands, that they go precisely where they should in order for her back to be healed. We thank you tonight,
thank
God.
You, God.
And
thank
God,
you, God,
we pray for our pastor tonight, Dr.
Thank
Thomas
you.
L.
Thank
Murray.
You, God.
Continue to crown his head with wisdom and glory, oh God, honor and power, God, to lead your people.
Yes,
and
God.
We thank you, God, for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you will do. We give you thanks, honor, and praise. God, we pray for Sister Giselle and those migraine headaches, God.
My.
We ask, oh God, that you would dispel those headaches right now in the name of Jesus. Those headaches are gone to be no more.
Hallelujah.
So we thank you, God, that even something as simple as a migraine headache, oh God, you can make it go away just like that. So, God, we speak into existence no more headaches, just like that.
Thank you, God.
We thank you, God, that you have allowed us to be together tonight one more time. Now, God, as we go, we ask that you would bless all those who are still without power. God, restore power
to
the lines, oh
God.
Restore power to every person who's in the dark, and not only in the dark physically, but restore
That's
the light
good.
Spiritually,
thank you,
God. And
thank
we thank you God.
You, God,
for being in the midst of your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And thank God.
Amen. Hallelujah. And praise God. Well, we hope that you enjoyed this time with us tonight, and we're certainly grateful for each of you. We'll believe in God for what you believe in God to do in your situation, and we know that God is going to see you through.
See you through.
So you be encouraged tonight, and until next time, you be blessed.
Be blessed. Bye-bye. See y'all Saturday.